This week in IndieDrome, how many bundles is too many? It's IndieDrome, the indie game podcast on Press Pause Radio. I am your host, Matthew J., and I'm joined by my co-host, Stevie Grant.
Hello. This podcast, in the true spirit of video games, has an episodic format, and by that we mean that you never know when the next episode of something's going to come out.
Yeah, it pretty much comes out when we feel like doing it.
Unless it is something like Telltale, who always do quality episodic games when you can expect them.
What, do you know someone that works at Telltale?
No, I just really like Telltale. Telltale are kind of indie when you think about it.
They're pretty indie. Not as much as they used to be, but they're still... Well, I mean, they're as indie as anybody is now. I mean, friggin' if that game company can win a Best Indie Award, I think Telltale still counts.
No, well, I mean, they're independent. They're not like... They don't have a larger company that they aspire to.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying if that game company counts as one of those, when they're...
And Twisted Pixel, when Microsoft technically owned them.
Yeah, they're owned by Microsoft, and that game company is funded by Sony. Mm. You know, but they can win all the Spike Awards that they need that have the word indie in them.
Yeah, oh, well, yeah, Journey did win Indie Game of the Year.
Yeah, I wish Russell Brand would give me a Spike Award. Who hosted it? Was it Russell Brand?
No, it was Samuel L. Jackson.
He's still doing it?
Yeah. Why do you assume it was Russell Brand? Is it just because there's a British person on a podcast, so you assumed I'd get the reference?
No. Was it ever Russell Brand? I think he hosted it one year, didn't he?
I don't think so. What's Russell Brand got anything to do with it?
There was a year here in America where Russell Brand was on everything. Like, he was hosting...
I heard that Russell Brand got really big in America, and I was surprised.
Yeah, he was huge. He was, like, hosting award shows, and he made that remake of that movie.
Arthur. Yeah.
Arthur,
in Britain,
he's in Rock of Ages now. So, like, I guess he's on the downslope from
the
whole thing.
Well, here's the thing: I actually really like him in Rock of Ages. But his
Arthur's great. Actually, I just rewatched Rock of Ages last night, and I still like it.
But here's the thing about Russell Brand is that as soon as we stopped hearing about him in Britain, like, he became really huge in the US. So it's sort of like we just passed him on to you, like the best.
I think he's got a talk show here now. Like a late night talk show.
Yeah, he had a late night talk show here. This is nothing.
Yeah, he did. Well, wasn't his talk show like a live show kind of format? Like, he was on stage and had comics come out and stuff.
Or was that a different show? I don't think it was live. I don't think it was live, but it was a talk show and he had comics on it.
Okay, so I always see clips of him, some show he did there where he's on like a big stage and comics, or I see him talk to David O'Doherty and people.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with indie games. A bit like the Spike Awards.
I heard they got better this year, but I didn't watch it. Stevie, can we just talk about British comedy? Talk about David O'Doherty.
We're completely changing the structure of this podcast.
He's Irish.
It's been a while since we did an indie drone.
A lot
has happened because 2012 was kind of a big year for indie games.
A lot has happened in indie games. A lot of bundles have come out, which is what we're going to start talking about. But first, thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for listening to us here on PressPauseRadio.com.
We should be more regular now. We'll get a regular schedule up for Indie Drone.
Yeah, we're going to be super regular now that the holidays are over.
That me and Matthew have stopped decorating our fireplace, because we do record this in the same place.
Yeah, we record this at the at Press Pause Radio Towers.
There's a separate Indie Drone room.
Yeah, that's where Indie Drone Studios are located. Thank you, Stevie, once again for flying in from your hometown of England.
Oh, no problem. My hometown of England country of Europe.
I believe you live in Derby. Is that a place? That sounds British.
There you go. If we have any Luton listeners, then... That would be weird.
Sure we do. That's a place. Thank you for taking a lift here, Stevie. So, thanks you guys for listening. This week we're talking about how many bundles is too many.
There was a recent bundle, and it was probably the best bundle yet.
It was kind of the best, but it's also, like, that's what made me think of this, where, like, don't I already have all these games?
I don't think it's... Well, that I think that might just be because you and me play a lot of indie games. Like, I don't think these.
Yeah, but I also buy all the bundles. That's why I have all the games, because they're in the bundles. And it's like every indie game I can think of gets featured in a bundle. Like when an indie game comes out, like the
Because they're
last
always the
bundle
big
had.
ones.
Yeah, but it's kind of all of them, because there's usually like one or two I haven't heard of, and then it's a bunch of games I already have because I bought them when they came out for 10 or $15. And then it's like, well, if I know, like I love They Bleed Pixels and I love Snapshot. Well, I don't love Snapshot, but like I love the stuff that gets put into a bundle. So if an indie game comes out, like why should I buy it if there's going to be a bundle in 4 months, in less than that, in 2 or 3 months that it's going to be in, and I can get it for a penny. I pay more than a penny, but I can get
I
for a penny.
completely get that logic. Well, the thing about the indie bundles is at first they weren't so frequent, but the games were also from a while ago. So it would be something like World of
Yeah.
Goo would be in it. And like you might have already owned World of Goo, but it would have seemed like an all right purchase to get in the bundle since there were other things in it and it was pay what you want. But the thing about what they're doing now is it's literally just like the biggest indie games you can think of come out, and then I don't really think that they get enough attention because people do just think, oh, I'll wait for the bundle. And I
Yeah, like
really think that
recently we've
halts them.
seen some with like Richard and Snapshot.
But then again, can you really say that when all they do is take the biggest indie games, so they're probably the indie games that have made the most profit anyways?
Yeah, I guess so. Like the most recent one had Cave Story Plus and the Basement Collection and Offspring Fling.
Yeah. Well, Offspring Fling, that was
I
last
guess
year.
it's not super popular, but it is from the guy that made
Well, I think
Snapshot.
Offspring. Well, Karl Pulver is kind of like an Edmund McMillen type thing.
What do you mean by that? He just makes a
Like
bunch of games?
he makes games that have a very specific personality to them. I'm not saying they have the same personality, but in the fact that they have like an all-encompassing design. Like all of Kyle Pulver games have like this sort of cutesy, like childlike aspect to them.
Yeah, I guess so. That's right. Like the cute robot that gets horribly mangled in
Yeah.
Snapshot.
And I think that kind of he's kind of well known within indie circles, but not really outside that. So I think Offspring Fling is a fine one to have, and Offspring Fling is a fine game as well. I don't know. I think it's the frequency of the bundles, honestly, and I think it's also the number
Yeah,
of
and now
bundles that
there are
there.
several like different bundles that happen
Yeah,
so
I think
frequently.
Indie Royale is good because Indie Royale often feature like more obscure indie games that you haven't heard of.
Yeah, the Humble Bundle is much bigger.
Yeah, the Humble Bundle is like, I don't want to say mainstream, but they're pretty much, as we've said, all of the games that you've heard about and read about.
Yeah, Shank 2 was in the most recent one also.
And Shank 2's co-published by EA, so.
Yeah, and The Binding of Isaac, which is like, how long has that game been out? And I feel like I own 5 copies of it.
It was out for a year. It came out in 2011, I think. Yeah.
Toward the end of the year, like holiday 2011.
Yeah, so I'd say it's been out for a year and a bit by now.
Yeah, that's about right. It's about right to own several digital copies of
But that game's
the game.
also like a couple of dollars, so it's like, why is it even in a bundle to begin with?
Yeah, just to like throw it in there. It's a really popular game, so you see it and you're like, oh, hey, I know that game. I might as well get this and then get closure with it.
Yeah. Oh, Closure's a really recent one, but I guess that has been on PS3 as well.
It was on PSN before. Before PC, I think.
Yeah, before PC. Way before PC.
I don't know, but I would like to pose this question to our listeners. If you guys would like to tell us in the comments section or get at us on Twitter, let us know what you think about it. How many bundles is too many? Or is it just enough? Do you just love super cheap games and giving the developers and the charities a penny
Well, it
for
depends
10 games?
how much you give them as well, because I've
A
been,
penny.
yeah. But then again, like, are the
Stevie,
people?
why would you give them more than a penny? If you
But
give them
here's
more
the
than a penny,
thing: the
you're a
people
sucker.
we criticize people who pay a penny, but the people who
No, I'm
pay a
saying these
penny.
people are smart.
Oh, okay. Now you're on their side.
Yeah, Stevie, what are you, a sucker? What are you
I
gonna
guess
just pay
I'm a
full price for a
sucker.
game? If you pay full price for a game, you're an idiot.
I guess I'm a sucker.
Never buy a game on release day. Wait till it's $20.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
Buy it used. You know what? Just pirate it. Screw it.
Actually,
Don't even waste the
that
penny.
would be better in some cases, because I think if you pay a penny, then PayPal actually just takes the penny and it actually charges them, I think.
Yeah, so just cut out the middleman and download it
Yeah, don't even pay a
from your
penny.
favorite BitTorrent website. Go to Pirate Bay, type in snapshot,
We
type
can't
in.
go Pirate Bay. You can't go to Pirate Bay in the UK anymore.
Go to your Pirate Bay browser and type in, "Hello, sir, I would like to download Snapshot." Let's see what comes out. Maybe Snapshot.
No, the Pirate Bay was blocked over here. That was a big thing when that happened.
Well, for you, I can use it whenever I want. I'm like, "Hey, can I download the newest American Horror Story?" And Pirate Bay's like, "Sure, here it is."
Yeah, you were just
It's
trying to get me to
not on
play
Hulu.
Horror
You to
Story.
what? Watch American Horror Story?
Yeah, you're just trying to subconsciously make me watch American Horror Story.
Steve, I would really like you to watch it so we could talk about it on Indiedrome.
So, yeah, we've already talked about Russell Brand. No, I think indie bundles, they aren't going to do massive harm, but I just think maybe they should stop for a little bit. Like maybe half a year until the next one, instead of a couple of months.
Stevie, what did you think when they took his character from Forgetting Sarah Marshall and gave him his own movie? Did you think it was weird that Did you think it was weird that what's his name, that fat guy played a different character even though he's in the first movie? Or
I
did
thought it
you
was the
try and
same
find him?
character, wasn't
No, he was a different character.
it? No, I didn't
Totally
get
different.
confused with the Forgetting Sarah Marshall canon.
What, you just did. You just said you thought he was the same character.
No, but I
You
don't think.
liar.
Yeah, sorry, I misunderstood the canon.
You didn't read
Okay,
any
it's
of the novels, did
confusing.
you?
No, I didn't read any of the extended universe stuff.
You have to read the extended universe. You have to follow the role-playing Twitter that the creators do, and then you have to read all the web comics that they put online. That's the only way you can understand it. It's like Mass Effect.
So, what
Resident
came
Evil.
out while we were doing Indiedromes, my favorite game of the year came out, Matt. Do you know what that game was?
Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Hotline
A
Miami.
game. Hotline Miami.
The first commercial game by Cactus, who's done a couple of indie games in the past, but they were more experimental. I mean, Hotline Miami's kind of experimental to the point.
I don't know if I'd call it experimental. I mean, unique. Definitely has a lot of new ideas in it, but I don't think it's anything that they're taking a risk with. You know what I mean? Except for maybe the subject matter, because it's a
I
fucking
think
dark ass
it's,
game.
well, there's one level which is very risky, and it kind of does the thing which I don't like about a lot of Suda51 games, which is where they make something bad on purpose to prove a point. And it's like, yeah, you've proven your point, but at the same time, you made something bad. I don't
Don't
think
know
it's
what part you're talking about.
the hospital. Well, spoilers for Hotline Miami, spoilers, 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 but the hospital
We
level.
can talk, yeah, whatever.
But the hotline.
Everyone's playing it.
The hotline level, but the hospital level where it's all stealthy, the controls feel a little bit clunky, and your character will just kneel down on the floor for a second and pant. And like, I get the idea of it, and it's like
Oh, now I remember.
and it's a
Okay.
really
I hated that.
it's a really short level, and I don't think it's to the extent as Suda51 does it in stuff like
Killer 7.
Killer
Killer 7's
7. Well, no,
full of it.
not Killer 7, but No More
It is.
Heroes, where he
I
makes.
guess No More Heroes has it worse, like the open world.
Yeah, where he makes this
Really terrible
horrible
open
open
world.
world that's
Where
nothing
there's just
like.
nothing to do.
Yeah, and that's supposed to be a comment on open worlds that have nothing to do, but.
Did you think it was funnier when L.A. Noire did it?
I don't
Also, do you think they did it on purpose?
think. Well, you think L.A. Noire was some sort of art game?
Yeah, some sort of deep parody.
Maybe that
Of
was.
course, it's an art game. It's got an E on the end.
Wait, okay, wait. Are you saying that has. Well, actually, no. Call of Duty.
Wait, isn't it spelled that way? Call of Dute? Call of Dute. Isn't it Call of Dute with an
There's
E
Call of
exalted U?
Duty. Call of Duty.
I see what you mean. And yeah, that level was pretty short, but it wasn't short enough because you wake up as this old fat guy. And you've got to wander through this level, and it's like it felt super long because it felt cool at first. I was like, "Oh, I'm totally powerless after totally ripping all these dudes apart for this whole game," but then it got old real quick.
And you also realize that the point of it was that it was being horrific, but you were also having fun doing it. And this just wasn't that fun.
Yeah, it was also that. It was also pointing out, like, "You like violence, you sick fuck. What's wrong with you?"
No, the whole game's doing that, but I don't think the whole game. I think the game can actually be compared to No More Heroes in a lot of ways, but I don't think the message of Hotline Miami is that you shouldn't like violence. I think No More Heroes is explicitly like, if you like violence, you're a bad person, and you're like this otaku nerd who has no life because you just spend your life indoors playing video games. I actually think, as much as I like No More Heroes, that that is kind of the message of it. Just
Yeah,
by the.
totally. I
But.
love No More Heroes, and I think that's the message of it.
Yeah, I love No More Heroes as too, but I'm just saying that the message is completely different. The message of No More Heroes is that you shouldn't like violence in media, whereas I think the message in Hotline Miami is that we're allowed, well, we should like violence in media, but just maybe we should consider the context of it and how fucked up
Yeah.
it is. Because the
Think
whole
about
game
what's
is
going
about
on there.
context. It's about when you take away the context to a plot, how does the violence hold up?
Did I ever tell you what happened to me when I played No More Heroes? When
No.
it first, I bought it when it first came out and played through it in like a couple days, like played the hell out of it because I had nothing else to do on my Wii at the time, or ever. And then I went through the whole game without upgrading my beam katana.
Yeah,
I
that happened
guess,
to me. That happened to me.
yeah. I got to the last fight and could not beat it because my beam katana wasn't strong enough, and I was just boned because the guy was or the girl you fight is too fast and was tearing me apart. And you can't exit the fight, so I was just screwed. Like that save was just never gonna finish, and I've never gone back to finish the game since then.
Really?
Yeah, I never. I always mean to pick up the PS3 one, the HD remake they did,
Hmm.
and then play the second game, which I also never played.
Oh, the second game is way better. It gets rid of the hub world. No, hub world, it gets rid of that world completely.
I've heard that it does, and that it's better. I have a cold, by the way, if I sound weird to everybody.
Fine. So
I've been
Hotline
sick.
Miami is a super good game.
It's great. It's one of my favorite games of the year.
Yeah, gameplay is super fun. I mean, we're going on about the story, but it's main, like, you could probably ignore it if you just wanted to go in and have some brutal fun.
Yeah, like it's got some, I think, pretty gaping flaws that you don't even realize until you're done the game. Like, the whole system of finding the puzzle pieces, I think, is just, I hate it.
Yeah.
Finding the puzzle
Well,
pieces
I
to get
think
the
the
true
puzzle
ending.
pieces is also.
There's so many of them.
Oh, no, I think that it's also him trying to prove a point again, maybe, about
I
unlockables or
guess.
in games. I mean, it's still pretty bullshit, just like the hospital level.
I think I would say that would be more true if the thing you were unlocking was some useless bullshit thing, but it's the true ending to the game that I want to get.
Oh, have you not seen the quote unquote true ending to the game?
I still haven't. I played through the whole game twice.
It's
Don't have it.
basically the same conversation you have just with like a generic sort of video gamey like conspiracy plot thread, which I guess is just trying to ape, oh, okay, you've finally done all this work. Here's the real reason behind everything. You still don't feel fully justified for it because you're not really supposed to do it. It's just some kind of lame explanation, and I totally get it as well. But that's the
Okay.
point, that it is some lame explanation.
And then after playing it a couple times, I went and watched Drive again
Yeah, it's
on
basically
Netflix.
Drive the game.
Yeah, it shares a lot with Drive. That movie is. I hadn't seen it since I saw it in the theater because I thought I might lose something seeing it at home. And nope, it's still a great, awesome movie. That movie rules.
Yeah, it's fucking great.
But that's not what we're here to talk about, you guys. We're here to talk about indie movies
Well, we're here to
like.
talk about the Great Gianna Sisters as well, because that was another game.
You can talk about that.
I
I
want to
haven't
talk
played.
about Great Gianna Sisters, because Great Gianna
Tell us about
Sisters.
Great Gianna, Sister Stevie.
Oh, okay. So, Great Gianna Sisters: Twisted Dreams is, if you aren't familiar with Gianna Sisters, it's an old Commodore 64 rip-off of Mario Brothers.
Yeah, and when you say ripoff, Jesus, like you mean
direct,
it.
no direct. It's not.
Yeah.
It's direct. It's a direct. It's exactly the same game, but the sprites are changed.
Yeah, it's not like how Arrow the Acrobat is a ripoff of Sonic or whatever, just because it's like a.
No, this is legally Nintendo sued them, and they had to
Yeah,
take them off.
like level 1-1 is there. It is the same thing.
Yeah, because it started off as a port of the original Mario Brothers for the
Yeah, and
Commodore
they couldn't get the
64.
rights to do it or something, so
No,
they just turned.
they just made it and then said Nintendo went to Nintendo and said, "Hey, look at this. We've got Mario running on PC. Do you want to do this?" And they just, "No, we've got a console. We want all
Yeah.
Nintendo games on one defined console." Because Nintendo games were on things before the NES. They were on, I think Donkey Kong was on ColecoVision or
It's on Atari
Atari's.
2600, I know that.
Yeah, and so they said, "Oh, well,
At Popeye.
yeah, oh yeah, this no, you can't make this game, and we want them all on this console." As the
And Mario
creators of,
Brothers is on something too.
and
I think Mario Brothers was on 2600, maybe.
so the creators of the Great Gianna Sisters just said, "Fuck it, let's just change the sprites and then release this game."
Yeah.
And so they
Change
did,
them.
and it got taken off shelves. But for some
Instead of
reason,
Italian brothers.
or Italian sisters. But for some
Yeah.
reason, the characters stayed alive for some reason. And there was a DS game called Giana Sisters.
People like the DS game too.
Yeah, the DS game's supposed to be good, but I haven't played it. But so this is all spun off into Giana Sister Twisted Dreams, which is fantastic and ironically is way better than any 2D Mario has been lately.
It's available on Steam.
Yeah. It just
Just
does
like the last game we talked about.
so many good things. Like the visuals are really impressive. Like you know when you
A very
see
pretty game. It's a very like lush, colorful visuals in the game.
Yeah, my computer had trouble running it, and I think it says something when your computer has trouble running an indie platformer, because it is really
Yeah.
lush and the visuals are just super crisp, and it's all 2.5D, but it all has this sort of dark rendered like color scheme because, okay, basically the whole crux of the game is that you can switch between your personality or your sister or whatever. And you like go into another world where some of the platforms are different, they go the other way, and you also have different abilities. But along with your different abilities, the environment also changes. So you will go from like a really dark dungeony level to like a lush green forest. But it'll still be the same level, it'll just be that the background and the foreground objects are changed. And that's a really neat concept, and they pull it off really well. And
Yeah, well, it's not a wholly unique concept. We've seen things like that, like in Link to the Past.
Yeah, we've seen, yeah, but not on the fly. Because, like, in Giana's Sisters, it's literally press a button and it happens instantly.
Yeah, I guess that's pretty cool. I'm not saying anything against it. I'm just
Yeah,
making
and
conversation.
it's, oh, no, but it's really fun. But a thing that I don't like about it, and a lot of games do this, and I've complained about this on other podcasts before, was that before you get to a boss level, you have to collect all the fucking unlockables to basically get in, and it's just basically making you replay levels, and I fucking hate that.
Yeah, I always hate that. That's the reason I don't like Mario Galaxy 2. I like the first one, but I just hate that whole, like, you don't have enough blanks to continue. And it's like, well, I've beaten all of the levels so far. Just let me go and play the next one. I just want new content.
I don't really agree with you on that because all of the missions in all of the planet stages in Mario Galaxy 2 are completely different.
Yeah, but it's still the same environment and the same. And sometimes I can't beat the mission because I don't have a Wii Motion Plus and I can't make my sail or whatever move the correct way. And it's just so
Then you have like a
frustrating.
billion other options to get stars. I don't think it's as bad as.
Yeah, sometimes it's just too hard. See? Why are games hard? Why can't games just be easy?
You just,
Why can't it be like a movie? Why can't it just keep going forward
or a
regardless of.
book because you like books more than
Books
movies.
are too hard.
Oh, okay. So you like movies more because you just put it on.
Yeah, I just put it on. Like today, I put VHS on, and I was like, well, this is shit. So I just barely paid attention to it.
Is that
I
actually
just,
good?
I wa
I've heard it's really good.
I disagree with all those people. I think parts of it are pretty cool, and then there's like 45-minute long stretches of boring bullshit you're getting through to be like, oh, she tore those guys apart. It's pretty cool. And then I watched YouTube videos of people falling down, and I was like, this is way more entertaining.
So Matt, what other
I'm a
indie
child.
games have
I'm
you
playing Faster Than Light. Have you played this game?
I've played Faster Than Light.
What'd you think of it?
I thought it was fucking dumb because it's a hard game, as you said. All hard games are shitty.
Why is it in two dimensions, Stevie? Why
Well,
isn't it
it's a
three,
space game,
like all
so
good
nothing
games
happens in
always?
two dimensions. It's a roguelike, and those are becoming really popular within like the indie scenes.
Yeah, and by roguelike you mean random dungeons, random encounters.
Well, it's not like in a dungeon. Like it's actually the furthest you could get away.
It's a dungeon, though. It's a dun with the word. It's like saying level. Like it's a dungeon. Just because it's in space doesn't mean it's not a dungeon.
Wait, but you wouldn't go into a dungeon in real life and say, "Oh, this looks like space."
What? No, I'm just saying it's like saying that. Fuck it. Just why are we talking about this? So it's randomized and it's hard. That's what makes it a roguelike. This one's saying in case you don't know what a roguelike is.
How far do you get in it? Because this game is fucking hard.
In one game, I got pretty far because you man this spaceship and you customize your spaceship and you customize your crew and you just keep going in space as long as you can. You can stop and pick up fuel and weapons and upgrade your ship. And but if you die, that's it. You're screwed. Like if your ship explodes or all your crew dies, you start over. So I made it pretty far, like without my crew dying. Maybe one guy died. Like I had all people on their stuff. Like I would have this guy go fix this thing. So if the fire would happen, I would just open
Yeah, if there's a
all the
fire in your ship,
airlocks.
you're fucked.
Yeah, but I figured out how to do it. Like I would just open all the airlocks. But sometimes a fire will break out, and then all my surveillance will break, so I can't see if the fire's gone. So if I open the airlock, then my option to see if the fire's still there is to send a guy out there to this place with no oxygen and see if that will either have no oxygen or will be on fire. So this guy's just walking into hell either way. But then I get him to fix all the stuff and it's back up and I'm flying through. And then you encounter other ships and you fight them. You know, they're either aliens or friendly people who want to sell you or take something from you or pirates. Sometimes they teleport onto your ship and just fuck you from the inside of your
Yeah.
ship. If
Yeah,
a
when
guy
that
gets on
first
your ship, you're
happened, I
boned.
was fucking annoyed because it was the furthest I got, and suddenly people were in my ship.
Yeah, just suddenly they just appear on your ship and just will start wrecking everything. That's also something when I'll just open the airlock. That's usually like my reason. That's usually just my answer to everything. It's just if something gets on the ship, I open the airlock.
Yeah.
And then the doors will break, so I can't control the doors from far away. So I have to send somebody into the open airlock to shut one of the doors so I can put oxygen back in the room. It's great. It's crazy addicting. Like the first time I went into it, I was like, all right, I'll play this for like 15 minutes. And then it was 3 a.m. You know, it
Yeah.
was one of those things.
It took fucking ages, and it's just really well designed. It takes a while to get you your mind around the controls. Like the tutorial, as good as it is kind of, it just kind of takes a while to wrap your brain around all the complexities of the game and the controls.
I think I got a hold of it pretty quick. It's pretty iconic. Like there's a lot of just icons that means that once you figure out what all the icons mean, I think you're pretty good. Because then it's just clicking after that. Clicking and the numbers for your weapons if you want to use those. And it's one of those games like Skyrim that just generates stories. Like whenever you get together to talk about this game, you're just like, oh, this one time I was here and this guy teleported and then he joined my crew.
So
That's a bad example.
what's your strategy
For
usually for the
what?
game? For the game, do you just try and get as far as you want without
I usually just try and move forward as quickly as I can
avoiding
while stocking up
confrontation?
as much as I can. I don't know. I usually don't avoid confrontation because you get so much. They reward you. It's high risk, high reward. Like when if you beat a guy, you're gonna get a bunch of scrap and a bunch of like money and stuff.
Yeah,
So
but then if
usually
you
if I
die.
get to a fight, yeah.
And
But
if you
then
die,
if
there's
you're
a
in
good
bad
chance that you
condition,
start from the very beginning and you lose all of your stuff.
yeah. But then, like, if you're in rough condition, it's just you're just hightailing it trying to get through space.
Yeah, but the thing is, I never really mind going back to the very beginning anyway, because it doesn't seem like it's that much of a detriment. I mean, it's just
Yeah.
enough to be frustrating, but it's just enough to not make me want to throw the computer in a bin.
Well, if you know that you're not saving all this stuff, then it's not that big a deal. Because you're like, well, I know that I'm gonna lose all this crap.
Yeah. And it also gives you more of an incentive to, I guess, try out new things.
Yeah, that's kind of the reason I just hightailed through because I was like, "Well, fuck it, I'm just gonna Statue of Liberty this and see how far I can get."
Wait, Statue of Liberty?
It's a football. It's an American football reference.
I
You
know,
would
this is
not football,
American football.
not football or footy or soccer. Does it bother you when I say that? When I say soccer.
Was Faster Than Light your indie game of the year?
I don't know. I don't even know if I don't think I played enough to even make. I always hate picking games of the year and stuff because I just feel like I'm not informed enough to
Well,
even
then what
make
was your
that
favorite indie game that you played this year? Was it, okay, let's just say this. Faster Than Light, They Bleed Pixels,
Yeah,
and
Fashion Light, Table
Hotline
Pixel,
Miami.
Hotline Miami are like the top three, definitely. And then there was a bunch of really good stuff. There are a lot of good One thing I really loved that I played that didn't come out this year was I started playing the Blackwell. I played the first Blackwell game from the Blackwell bundle from GOG. And those games are really cool, like, because it's from the guys who made Gemini Rue. So it's
And you're
like
a big
they
fan of
know
Gemini Rue.
I'm a huge. Oh, God, I love that game so much. So because I'm a huge point and click. Point and click adventures are my favorite kind of game.
It's also
They're
because you
my.
just like books.
Yeah, so I love a good story. I love good characters. I love good voice acting.
They're a
You know, I
fucking
love
bread.
everything. Everything that I love
Fucking
about video games are
nerd.
things that most people don't care about. Like, most people don't care about story. They don't care about character. Because, like, whenever someone says, when you think about a game, the most important thing, the number one thing should be fun, I always disagree with that. Because I'm like, well,
Yeah,
some
I disagree with
can
that
be
as
not
well.
fun. Yeah, like, just like a movie, you know, if someone says a movie, if a movie's not, you know, fun to watch, then it's like, did you watch Compliance? Yeah, have you heard about that movie?
I haven't, but I've heard a lot about it.
It's the most frustrating movie, suspenseful movie to watch. Like, it's the most uncomfortable movie to watch, and I loved it for that.
Yeah.
And I
But
think the
then
same thing about
again,
games.
there
Like,
is.
if it...
But then again, there is like a fine line between that, because then you can get to stuff like Hotline Miami and No More Heroes. And I think, actually, I won't say. You get to stuff like Hotline Miami and No More Heroes, which do the trying to discomfort you on purpose, but end up failing a bit.
Yeah, I guess. But then I also love, you know, like Mega Man, which is just a fun ass game that's not there for story or for. And when it does story, it's usually really terrible at it.
Well, no, the story's usually kitsch or just like
We have to
some.
defeat Dr. Wily.
Yeah, Dr. Wily.
We have to defeat Dr. Or, Zero sacrificing himself. Stuff like that.
The ending of our spoilers for Mega Man Zero 4, the ending of that game was really sad. It was really sad for no reason.
Have you played all the Mega Man Zero games?
Yeah, I got the DS collection.
I wanted to pick that up. Is that good?
Yeah, it's really good.
Those games are good.
These games are really good, yeah.
What about the Game Boy Color games? Are they good?
Oh, there a couple of them are good. Most of them are pretty bad since
Mega
it's
Man
Mega
X
Man.
games they put on Game Boy Color.
No, it was. No, there were Mega Man games on original Game Boy. I'm
On the
not sure
original
about
Game
Game
Boy, but there's at least one Mega Man X game on Game Boy Color.
Oh, I don't know about Mega Man X game on Game Boy Color then.
Probably not good. Game Boy Color is an underrated thing, I think. People don't talk about it enough.
Because it's basically like a slightly upgraded version of the Game Boy.
Yeah, but it was great. I remember when I played Game Boy, I remember when I popped
And it
Pokemon
didn't really
Red.
have that many colors.
Yeah, but still, it was good. I remember when I put Pokemon Blue in, and I was like, everything is blue. How does it know that? This game came out before that. And then I played a Game Boy Color game, and it blew my mind. I guess I didn't have a Game Gear as a kid. Because it's in color already.
I got a
But it
Game
was like that was like having the NES in your hands.
Gear. Kind of, because it didn't have the games in the NES.
See, what was your favorite indie game this year?
Oh, I think you already know Hotline Miami.
Yeah. Wasn't The Walking Dead?
Well, does that count as an indie game? I think we were talking
Didn't
about
we have the conversation this episode?
it. Well, okay. Yeah, maybe Walking Dead. I haven't finished it yet. Have you played any of The Walking Dead?
I haven't played any of it yet. I hear the first episode's free, though.
It's free and it's really good.
Yeah. I want to play it. I just don't care about zombies so much that even all this talk about how incredible a narrative experience it is for a video game,
Does
I'm still
zombies
just.
right though? It's worth slugging through it even if you don't like zombies
Yeah, but I'm
anyway.
almost like, eh, do that with a different story, you know? I'll be interested. I just don't care about zombies. I don't care about Walking Dead. I don't care about any of this crap. I'm tired of zombies, Stevie. Why does everyone love zombies so much?
Well, I think it's more of a designer thing because with zombie, I mean, whenever you get like human characters, like you have to make different faces and stuff like that, and it can get kind of silly when you're being attacked by the same identical person, and you don't really think about that stuff when they've all got green skin.
Yeah, but also when you do all the choices and stuff. That's kind of the meat of the game, right?
Yeah, but it's all about like a player agency, and kind of it has some Mass Effect-y type stuff in the way that your choices carry on.
I'm playing the first Mass Effect. Is that indie?
It's not indie, but it is pretty bad. So it's like an indie.
I don't think it's that bad. I'm playing on easy, so I'm just powering through all the gameplay stuff because I don't care about that, as we mentioned.
Yeah.
I like Mass Effect though. I played Mass Effect 2. I like that game a lot. I was gonna talk about Persona 4 Golden this episode. I still haven't picked it up.
Why haven't you? Is it because you hate X-Tree?
Because it costs money. XE didn't put it out. It was Atlus.
Well, it was one of them fucking indie companies.
Dipshit.
Japanese companies.
Japan indie.
Japan indie.
If it was by accident, I totally would have bought it by now.
So what games are you looking forward to this year, I guess, 2013 for indie or
Man, it's already
Japanese?
2013.
oriented.
That whole 50 game list that we looked at that I can't remember a single thing off of it. How about that?
Yeah, I guess.
You, how about you talk about one, and then I'm going to look up this list again while you're talking.
Okay,
Barkley, talk about Barkley too.
Barkley 2 is the sequel to Barkley Shut Up and Jam Gaiden, and I'm really looking forward to it. They're trying to make it as funny, no, as fun as it is funny, which I agree with. I mean, the first Barkley is kind of just the gameplay is really an ends to the means.
Yeah, there are a lot of really beautiful games coming out. Like New Game Plus looks really nice.
New
The
Game
Underside looks gorgeous. Owlboy looks friggin' incredible. I
Owlboy's been
cannot wait
coming
to
out
play
for a year, and The Underside has been a game that's
that.
been in the making since Fez has been announced.
Oh, there's a playable demo for Owlboy.
Yeah, it's been a one that's been out for a while. Radio the Universe looks really good. I'm really excited for that.
Starbound looks pretty cool. It looks like a lot of games that I'm probably not going to be able to run on my computer. That
Well, there
sucks.
are a lot of when people say, "Oh, there's only 2D pixel games," in that list, which is by IndieStatic.com, it's a very good indie site. But on that list, there are a lot of like 3D, like full adventure games
Yeah,
that you would
there's a
assume.
new Amnesia game coming out.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that. It was supposed to come out on Halloween last year, but it didn't.
Super Time Force.
Super Time Force, which is by Cappy, who did Critter Crunch.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Ooh, I wonder if Miguel worked on it. Probably not. He's probably gone by then.
Yeah.
Distance is a cool looking indie racing game is coming out.
Well, that's based off Nitronic Rush, which have you played
Oh, it
Nitronic
is? No.
You should play Nitronic Rush because then it would give you a good hint for what Distance has in store. I'm really excited.
Xenoclash 2, Octodad. Octodad's coming out on
See, how
Steam.
would you see about Xenoclash being considered indie? Because the first game was like an indie gem that people really love. What about the second one, which is being it's being published by Atlus, isn't it?
Oh, is it? I don't know.
I think so, yeah.
Castle Story looks pretty cool. I love building stuff in games. I was a big fan of Minecraft.
Let me look at this. Xenoclash 2 is Atlus.
Oh, that's cool. Well, you know what? Good for them. That's what I think about it. I'm not gonna be like, it's not indie.
It kind of fits into our demo.
The Iconoclast has really pretty sprite art also.
Yeah, that's by Konjac. It basically looks like a really good year for indie games, like last year.
It does. What is Gunpoint? That looks awesome.
See, this is what happens when you read up a list after you record
Yeah, this is
a podcast.
not good. This is not good radio. So, what's one specific one you're looking forward to? Radio
Radio
the
the
Universe?
Universe. That's the one I'm really looking forward to. Radio the Universe and Barkley 2.
Radio the Universe looks cool because they're comparing it to Yume Nikki and Dark Souls and Symphony of the Night and Silhouette Mirage and Dark Souls. And that sounds like all
And
those
I
games in a
think
blender.
he's also said that Hotline Miami is a recent inspiration for Radio the Universe, so.
Yeah. Oh man, if you combine all that sounds like that game is just gonna mind fuck you back and forth. That's what
Yeah.
that sounds like. It sounds like it's just gonna screw your brains to the wall.
And if you look at even the Kickstarter stuff, the creator is sticking with the theme and keeping loads of creepy stuff up in like all of the materials and things, so.
Yeah, it's
Although,
surrealism.
do you want to know something really funny about the Kickstarter for Radio the Universe?
It's fake.
No, it's not fake, but the $1 pledge is like he jokingly said that he'll pray to a star on your behalf, and that's for $1. But he also did that the same thing for the 999 pledge, and someone still backed it. And the 999 pledge doesn't get anything else, he still just prays for a star.
I'm sure if you email him and say, hey, I gave you
Yeah, I'm pretty sure,
$1,000, I'll be like, you know what? Here's a free copy of the game.
yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But that game looks pretty good. I think the cutscenes just got doubled for it.
My Little Pony, the fighting game.
Oh, fucking hell.
Excited for that.
You're very excited for that.
Stevie, when are we going to start a Brony podcast? There aren't
Next week
enough
on
of them.
Ponydrome.
Indie Dromy. Drony. Would we be Indie Dronies? I am not looking forward to. I'm just going to mention this even though I'm reviewing this game. Cognition is an episodic point-and-click adventure that's. It's from the lady who made edit game name in here. It is awful. Gabriel Knight. So the lady that made Gabriel Knight, I couldn't think of it. It is absolutely terrible. The main character is just completely awful. She is just overreacts and screams at everything. She's a detective and does not act like a detective. She doesn't even think for 2 seconds about anything she does. The puzzles don't make any sense. One of the first puzzle in the game is she has ESP. She's a detective with ESP, and she's following her brother's been taken by a serial killer. So she's follows him into this cemetery behind a mausoleum, and there's a freshly dug hole, and with her ESP she can see the guy dig the hole. So through a very adventure gamey puzzle, which is with terrible sound cues, really ugly graphics, like it's just offending my senses from every way it can.
You really
So
hated the
I,
plot as well.
yeah, well that's what I'm saying. Like I eventually got to the shovel, and then the plot is psychic detective. Blah, how many times do we have to do that? So then I bring the shovel back to this freshly dug hole, and she's like, "Oh, I can't dig in this hole." Like, why? You have the shovel.
Just
When you
sounds
look
like
at the
shitty
hole.
adventure game logic.
Yeah, it is. It's adventure game logic. It's the reason adventure games died for a while, is because the logic got so crazy. You know, the one everyone mentions from Police Quest, where you have to shave the cat and then take the mustache and glue the mustache to your face that you made out of the cat hair.
Never even knew about that. That's
Yeah,
brilliant.
you had to cut a cat hair off and then turn it into a mustache with tape on your face to match this ID that you drew a mustache on. So it's like this ridiculous game logic that doesn't make any sense. And adventure games live and die on their logic and their characters. So already you're killing the two main things that I love about adventure games. So I get back to this hole, and when you click on the hole, she's like, "Oh, I need a thing to dig with." I get a shovel. The thing you dig stuff with, like the only thing that you use to dig things. It's the thing that's made to dig things. When someone's like, "Oh, I need a hole to be here," they go out and they buy a shovel and they bring it back there and make a hole happen. But no, this lady, I get the hole, or I get the shovel and bring it back to the hole. And she's like, "Well, I can't do this. I see the guy whenever I do it because I have ESP." Which is like, oh, you're a detective and you can't do your work when you have the image of a serial killer in your brain? You're the worst detective in the world. So then I go
I
out,
love how worked up you're getting about
and
this.
her partner is waiting. I was doing this for like an hour. Like, why aren't you digging this hole? So I walked out to the front, and her partner is standing there, and I'm like, "Hey, come dig this hole." And he goes and he digs the hole. So it's like, what kind of crappy detective are you that you need to go to your partner and be like, "Dig a hole for me because my brother's taken by a serial killer." So it's like, oh, well, we are investigating a case you are way too close to because it's your brother. You are a detective with ESP. That why are you allowed to be a detective? That's like, how can you prove you have ESP? She can't even dig the hole. She gets her guy to do it for her. And also, there's some weird gender politics there because it's like this woman can't do it. She gets this man to do it for her. I thought that was weird. And then you dig up this like plate. So you bring the plate to the front of the mausoleum. Shit, this game. So you bring it to the front of the mausoleum and you stick it into this hole. And now it's like a wheel. Okay, and also in front of the mausoleum, there's like a giant video camera watching you. which is the only reason that this part kind of makes sense. So she turns it, and as she turns it, like right where her like shins are, there are a bunch of holes in the wall, and like spikes pop out and like almost hit her leg. She's like, "Oh my God, the spikes almost hit me." And the guy's like, "Maybe get away from there." And then I think she points her gun at the guy really quickly there. So that's like, get out of there. Don't stop. So then she keeps turning it and it stabs her legs because there's a note that says, like, the blood of the whatever her last name is will open this door. And then her blood pools under her and pours inside of the door, and then the door opens. And then I turned the game off. I was so mad. I was just like, why? Why don't you just cut your leg and dump it in there? Why not just do. Everything about it just made me so angry. The voice acting is so bad. Every single thing she says is said with this like Wolverine-esque growl. Like she's just always screaming, and she's I hated it. It's this ugly 3D point-click adventures rarely look good in 3D unless they're in like a 3D environment and the camera's in 3D.
Sam and Max,
Yeah, like
Telltale.
Sam and the Telltale games. Like Back to the Future does it really well. It's just I fucking hate it. I love point and click adventure games so much, and playing this
Yeah, this just
game, I
sounds like a
haven't even
bad one.
finished it. I have to review it. And it's by the lady that made Gabriel Knight, one of the best point and click adventures ever. One of the best stories and scripts ever, and this one is just awful to experience. And it's the first episode. So that's like
Many forward to look, many to look forward to.
I don't think we're gonna review the next episode. I think I'm gonna review this one and be like, fuck it. No. But yeah, so I've been playing that and I hate it. I think it's really bad. Don't play Cognition. Don't like, even though it's related to Maid Gabriel Knight. I don't know how much input she had on it.
Sorry. I think you keep clicking something on your end.
I was a pen in my hand.
Yeah, you stop doing that. You can hear it sometimes.
Okay.
Just go back from It's Made by Gabriel Knight.
And that's pretty much all I've been playing too. It's like that and some Mass Effect. Because of the holiday, I've just been totally so busy. I haven't had time to play anything. I haven't even kept my Vita in my backpack when I left. So, what else do you want to cover? Anything else that you've been playing lately, or you want to say about bundles?
I think that's really all we've got to say. Well, we'll talk about that another time because that's a huge conversation that we want to have about Retro City Rampage, so.
Yeah, we're going to talk a bit about Retro City Rampage, which we both have played. I
And we
reviewed
both are very
both of them.
differing. You reviewed it for Press Pause Radio, I reviewed it for Sega Addicts. Two very different reviews.
Yes, because one is correct and one is not.
And that's my one. Oh,
Yep,
we've
yep.
got. Do you want to
That
do
one.
plugs?
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody, again. If you want to get at us on Twitter, my name on Twitter is at Mr. Matt J. Stevie is at the Stevie Grant. You can also hear Stevie's other podcast, the Sega Addicts Kids Table, at sega-addicts.com. And you can also listen to our other podcast that we do with Josh Newey at goosebumpsbookclub.tumblr.com.
It's exactly what it sounds like.
Yep, I think it's what I was saying. I don't know if it's Tumblr dot. I don't know. And also check out presspauseradio.com for all your video game anything you'd ever need. It's all there, all of it. And thanks again for listening. Come back next week. We're gonna be on a regular schedule from now on, right, Stevie?
Yeah, hopefully, yeah.
Yeah. So thanks, guys. Have a good week, and don't forget to save your game.